Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
This segment is brought to you by Jigmasters. Step up your game with high-quality performance jigs, spinnerbaits, buzzbaits, and more from Jigmasters.com. And always, when in doubt, get the jig out.
You're tuned in to Off the Water. I'm your host, JP. This is the premier source for all things to do after a long day of fishing. Chill out, grab a cold one, let's go explore what there is to do off the water. What is up, listeners of the world? Welcome back to Off the Water. I'm your host, JP. Today, we are going to have a very, very special guest. Before I announce his name, or you can see it up there, but I want to really kind of take a quick minute to explain what we're going to do in this episode. So for those who are looking for, you know, a one-place destination in this episode, I'm going to give you multiple places just because that's how this is going to roll. And these multiple places are going to be the national parks. Now, the national parks, if you follow anything within my Instagram or follow anything that's on my social media, you're going to know that is near and dear to me. I've spent a lot of time out there in the national parks, and I've also spent a lot of time going to different national monuments and everything else and trying to really understand this this country we live in and a lot of the things the national parks stand for. So without any further ado, let me introduce you to my guest, Mr. Jeff Hepp. What is up?
What's going on, my man, my brother? I'm loving life. You want me to just start talking? Because I'll talk about it for days, man. So first of all, I just want to thanks for having me on the show. But more deeply, thank you for Day on the Water last weekend, fishing up there in Indiana. That was a blast. Like you said, going to church on the river, you know, so
yep.
That man, beautiful day. We didn't catch a lot of fish. I got a new nickname. Now they call me Ramp Fish. So I don't know why guys don't fish at the ramp. I mean, but whatever. I catch them there. So yeah. I'll just introduce myself as Fish the 50. If you want to find me on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, or just connect with me on my my Facebook page, just put a fish in your profile and I'll say yes. But I'm a veteran and I'm on a mission to catch a fish in every state. And you can see my map behind me is about just over halfway filled in. So I'm loving that, and I'm traveling all the time. I'm from Central Ohio, I grew up in Ohio. I've lived here all my life, and after I deployed, I just decided that I wanted to see this great country that I signed up to defend, and I just been traveling around and hitting whatever spots along the way or where work sent me. I worked for the Army for a bit. I caught a fish in Kuwait. Then I worked for the Air Force for a while and caught fish out near Hill Air Force Base in Utah. And I think they sent me to Nebraska once, and I got a fish in Nebraska where my cousin was living at the time. I caught a little bass. I hooked a nice bass, and the drag was busted on his reel. And I,
oh, no.
I know, man. It's like it's about the adventure and experience for me, not necessarily the fish. I mean, I've caught big fish. You can probably see my sturgeon here. That's my sturgeon print. And I've caught small fish. Like one time I was just stopped at a campground in North Dakota, and I was like, hey babe, I'll be right back. And I bought some worms, and I went to this little pond in the middle of North Dakota, and caught a bluegill, and my North Dakota experience was over in like 3 seconds. So, but that's life, man. I mean, I'm just fishing wherever I go, and learning a lot. I'm blessed to be, you know, acting as a chaplain for the Paddle and Fin Trail Series, really getting into the kayak bass fishing. One of the reasons is I hurt my ears in the artillery. So I like the quietness of it. I like the peace and solitude of the kayak experience. I like the simplicity and inexpensiveness of it, comparatively to an expensive loud boat. Of course, boats are quieter than they used to be, but so I'm really getting into that. I'm having a blast with you guys. But I still like to fish anywhere and everywhere, and it don't matter. Like, cause the thing is, like, I didn't start fishing, until I was in Kuwait in my early 30s. I grew up on a lake, called Indian Lake in Ohio. It's in central Ohio. And almost all of Ohio's central lakes, they're all just impoundments. They're just shallow, muddy, dirty lakes. So it's got crappie, sawguy, channel cats, flatheads, that kind of stuff, right? So grew up there, but I didn't fish there until after I deployed. And something changed in me over there. I caught this tiny little fish in Kuwait, and I was like, this is kind of fun. And then, of course, after I came back, I decided to try it again, and I went to Cape Canaveral and caught a 50-inch wahoo, and man, we cut that thing up and ate it, and it was one of those, you know, you catch it, you take it to the port, and there's this like great restaurant on the port, and the whole family was there and had like 30 pounds of wahoo meat, and, oh my goodness. Like, that's awesome. I was hooked. I mean, it was like nonstop after that, and I just been learning. So I mean, it's like being a kid, you know. I got really started off with no skills. My dad, you know, nobody in my family fish. So I was just learning trial and error and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's just been an amazing journey. And, like you said, man, I'm starting off on a new journey with the National Park Service. So, so if you want me to start on that, I will, or if you got some questions or.
Well, you know what? I do have a couple questions for you. Okay. So in Ohio, so you said most of what you're fishing is impoundments. Now, right. A lot of, I know, you know, it's kind of like Chicago in a way. We're, you know, not even Chicago, but the rest of the state, a lot of the stuff is either impoundments or left over from glaciers that formed the area.
Yeah.
But you guys have a pretty good river system that runs through the state with multiple rivers. Do you get out river fishing any bit?
I do. I'll give you a rundown. Try this on the map here.
Okay.
All right. So think of Ohio as, you know, Ohio River is the southern border. Lake Erie is most of the northern border. Okay. In between that is all rivers that either kind of flow up or flow down. And just about nothing in the interior of Ohio is natural lake. Okay. It's all normally shallow creeks and rivers. So glacial, like there's like up here in the islands, this is like Putin Bay up here in Lake Erie. One of the middle bass or one of the islands up there actually has very visible, nice glacial grooves right there that you can see. And then the glaciers push down to about halfway down the state, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains like run right up through here. Okay. So like I said, this flows to Erie, this flows to the Ohio River. But the dams and the lakes and the, you know, all that is just really disrupted. Like what's what's native to Ohio and where the fish are. And, you know, just, I mean, that's story all over. Right.
But yeah.
So near me is a river called the Mad River. I live in Urbana, so that's Champaign County. So in Champaign County, there's no place that I can put in a motorboat. So it's just probably weird for a lot of people, but yeah, there's a shallow river here called the Mad River, and they stock it with brown trout. And, so that's where I fish for river fishing, but they also have, quite a bit of carp, and fishing carp out of a river is a blast. So yeah, I caught a pretty nice brown trout there. I think it was about 23, 25 inches. So, because of Lake Erie, so we have the, Fish Ohio. Other people call citation or, you know what I mean? That type of thing. So it's a Fish Ohio award. Mm-hmm. So, there's two different sets of length criteria for Fish Ohio awards, one for Lake Erie and then one for, inland. Right. So,
right.
I do have a Fish Ohio, brown trout, a carp, a largemouth, a spotted bass.
Oh, wow.
I should have measured my smallmouth because it probably would have been my smallmouth. But so for an example, an award fish for smallmouth in an interior river is 18 inches. For Lake Erie, it's 20. So
okay.
That kind of gives you an idea. Walleye, 25 inches in the inland, 28 on Lake Erie. So
cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then, you know, and following a lot of guys on social media, you know, and some of our hosts like Brad Hicks, he fishes.
I knew it was coming. He fishes the Great Miami and the Mad, and all that comes together kind of down in the Dayton area. So that's like 45 minutes south of me. So it's much, much deeper and wider there. I'm up in, so the highest point in Ohio, I'm here in Champaign County. The highest point in Ohio is right in here somewhere, one county above me. It's okay. Like 1800 feet or something. So, the start of the Mad River is near me. He's more towards the deeper end of it. So completely different river than right. What he fishes. But I mean, I know he's always posting the pictures of the smallmouth, and we keep saying, you come up here, you come down there, and we'll get together eventually. Cause I did a podcast with him, with the Raptor folks. So,
okay.
I'll catch up with him soon.
Same with Eldridge, Josh.
Yeah.
He's in Ohio. And then there's another gentleman. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but they call him the Lake Erie kayak guy.
I don't know him. No,
that's his name's Chucky Earl.
Don't know him.
Yeah, he fishes exclusively to Lake Erie for walleyes.
Yeah, oh yeah, I bet. I mean, those guys are crushing them right now. I mean, the walleye is just going crazy. I really don't get into the walleye fishing. You saw me eating it though. I like to eat it. And I did catch one there in Indiana, and it bit me off. But, Erie's different, right? So that's at least 3 hours for me to drive. You know what I mean? And mostly, and I'd be interested in learning the kayak stuff on Erie, but it can get pretty nasty. So I'd be interested in hearing what this guy has to say about yakking on Lake Erie. But most of those guys have a big, you know, much bigger boat than I have to fish Erie, because there's no point for me to own a boat that size where I live. So it's kind of like, are you going to invest in that or not? And, a lot of friends, and we have a lot of Amish around here. They'll just pay somebody. They'll run up there and catch a mess of walleye. And the lake's doing really good. It's starting to clean up. The population's good. The spawn's good up there. And, it's going good. I mean, Ohio's fisheries, they're taking it more seriously. Like, when we're going to talk about parks later, and we have one national park up in the Northeast, a big park, and then we have a lot of smaller historical type parks here, but we don't have the public land like is out west, man.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, and it's a lot like where you're from, man. It's populated. You know, you get to a lake, and like my wife and I went on vacation up into Michigan a month or so ago, and we drove past the Maumee River there, the walleye run up into the Maumee. And I mean, they were literally, I mean, they were so close. They looked like they were just, they could have, like, you'd have to ask them if they were social distancing. I mean, cause it was like, I mean, and for me, I love the nature of it, right? I love the solitude of it. I love the quietness of it. And I am not into fishing that close to people, to other people. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me, but especially for me to have to drive 2.5-3 hours to get up there to do it. So, another yeah. place I want to get to in Ohio is the northeast corner, where they have great steelhead fishing, and I have not done that there. I've caught good, really nice rainbows in other states, but they call it Steelhead Alley, I think, up there northeastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
That end of Lake Erie is a lot cleaner, I think, because of where the tributaries come in and whatnot. So,
cool. Yeah, and you said it, man. Just like your state, Illinois is kind of in the same way. You know, Lake Michigan was, you know, part of a lot of what was formed is glacier. But in now where I live is considered Cook County, and we don't, unless you're on Lake Michigan, there's nowhere where you can have a, because the lakes are just way too small aside from Lake Michigan, within probably, so lake, unless you go to the Fox Channel Lakes, which is an hour drive from me. But there's nowhere where you can really have a big boat open up anywhere. There's parts right. of the Fox River where it's possible, but then there's parts of the Fox River that are so skinny and shallow that you can't get a bass boat through there. So, you know, in the last, I would say within the last 10 years or so, you know, the Chicagoland area kayak fishing scene has exploded because most of these waters that have launches were for canoes, and because nobody really had kayaks, you know, now kayaks the name of the game, and there's guys out everywhere in kayaks fishing all these, you know, smaller bodies of water. But at the same time, now that's putting more pressure on our fisheries, you know. But the good thing about us kayak fishermen, I would like to think, is that we're very in that conservative mind. So sure. what we do catch, we release unless we are truly going to harvest it. But it's hard to find good, because like I said, if you're going out on, like, you know, you had to drive ways to get a boat, you know, to open up around us, and then you go throughout the rest of the state. Most of the states, or most of the lakes are within the state of Illinois that have open, you know, outboard limits are all cooling lakes or reservoirs that were made to support the local nuclear plant. Otherwise, anywhere throughout Illinois, there's not that many natural lakes that are left here. Everything has been man-made. You just have river systems that flow to the Mississippi from where we're at. So pretty similar to you in terms of fishing. However, though, you know, a lot of guys, you were talking about steelhead and trout. We have an inland stocking program, and then there's also a stocking, or there's the runs of salmon that go on Lake Michigan. So that takes a lot of pressure off. What I like to fish on Lake Michigan is smallmouth. So that takes a lot of pressure off of that. But like you said about Lake Erie and trying to understand how those guys fish it, Lake Michigan is a treat because it literally has to be the perfect storm for us kayakers to get out there. And that's watching the weather days in advance and watching the weather while you're out there.
Right,
you can't really go too far in anticipation of just a turn of the wind can really start changing the way the waves come in because of where Chicago's at in terms of where the lakefront's positioned. So, you know, So we have a lot of similarities in our fishing structure and where we fish around here, but we do have the same gambit of fish: walleye, largemouth, smallmouth. You know, like I said, trout do run through Lake Michigan. You have, you know, in Lake Michigan, we also have salmon. So a lot of the kayakers on Lake Michigan are going after the salmon and the trout. You know, it's a huge, that's actually a huge one out there. So, but now, you know, when we talk about how we feel about our land and we start moving out, you know, say going out west, going down south, we have where you work for. The National Park Service.
Yeah.
And you know, for those who are listening right now, you know, I said it in the intro, and I'll say it again. If you haven't been to one of the national parks that's within the United States, take the time to go. All right. And I only say that because, you know, a lot of, you know, the echo, you know, the green footprints, you know, leaving no trace behind, that's really picked up a lot within the last couple decades in these national parks. And what is left of what's truly pristine is here. So I'm going to kind of help facilitate a little tour around the U.S. with Mr. Jeff Hepp. And we're going to talk about, we'll give you, you know, how we do on the podcast, you know, your top three. I'm going to give my five, and I'm going to have you give your five.
Okay.
Favorite national parks. And you could tell me everything you like about them. So we'll start with one, and we'll go back and forth off each other. So you're the guest. What is your favorite national park?
Hands down, Glacier National Park, Northwest Montana. It's just amazing, man. I've been out there twice, and it just the peaks and the valleys, the vertical space there. But more so, the thing is with Glacier is that it's pretty far out there, so it's not really central. Like, you have to be going there to go there, and so it gets a lot less traffic than the rest of the parks, the major parks. So there's a lot of room to spread out. The wildlife there is amazing, and the scenery is gorgeous. And I just had a blast there. It's interesting because if you go on my Instagram, Fish to 50, and somewhere on there, probably I posted pictures from Glacier, but I went out there with a buddy in college and drove out there and took a picture. And then like 20 years later, I went out with my family. I'm like, hey, I know this valley. I'm like, I know exactly where I'm at. I was here. And I took a picture in the same valley and tried to get it. Well, that one, right, that scroll back up, that blue there.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Let's see here. Scroll back up or down?
Down. Yeah, right there. Yeah. That's Glacier right there.
Yeah, it sure is.
And I fished in that lake right there, and they said there was trout, but it was really, really hot, and I was casting from the shore, didn't catch any. But yeah, man, that place is just gorgeous. It's just hard to top. I mean, I just saw there's a National Parks fan page on Facebook, and that I think Glacier won. So I'm not on a bandwagon. I like I said, I visited Glacier 20 years ago and just fell in love with it. So that's number one.
Nice. That's number one for you. All right. Well, number one for me is kind of one of those. It's not an unpopular one, but it's one that a lot of people kind of overlook because its predecessors just north of it. And that place is going to be the Grand Tetons. That is hands down my favorite national park. And I'm actually going through and browsing. I want to pull up a picture for those to understand why this place is somewhere that holds it just holds a special place in my heart. So I'm pulling up the picture right now. I got to go back to 2017. And let me give you a little background of why this trip was the way it was. So it was me and three of my other buddies, and we decided let's rent an RV and let's go out west. So we rented an RV. We left Chicago. We drove 23 hours to the Tetons itself. And in our adventure on the first day, we encountered a tornado in Nebraska while at a rest stop. And then when we finally made it to the mountains, we almost thought that the transmission was going to go out on the RV because we were putting the pedal to the metal because of the elevation gains going from the foothills in Wyoming all the way up and through to get there. So, you know, when we finally got there, though, we were, I mean, when I say breathtaking, I mean, this, you can't get any more pristine than being in those mountains. And then when you get on the water and you start looking and you start gaining the perspective of what's there, these mountains look like you can reach out and touch them, though they are many of miles away from where you're actually at. So I'm, like I said, I'm up. Oh, here it is. Here it is. All right, we're going to share the screen right now.
Yeah, I know. It's like you're driving out west and like you're in the plains and you see these mountains like, we're almost there. And it's like, you know, 6 hours later, like, we're almost there. Like, it's yep. Like you can be looking and looking and looking.
All right, here we go. Come on. There it is.
Oh, man, that's gorgeous.
Let's see here. Can I get this any bigger? Yep, here we go. So this is the perspective. This is Jenny Lake. No, I'm sorry. That is not Jenny Lake. That is Jackson Lake that we're on right now. And we're looking south. And when I say, like, you know, we're standing on the shore looking out, you know, you think that that mountain is right there. That mountain's actually about – now, that one's a little closer. That's probably about a good 2-3 miles away. But when you get out – because this is just a little channel that goes back to a bay back there. But when you actually go out to the main river that way, oh, my God. I mean, you're just it's something that you really have to take in and understand how cool that is. And and what we were doing, we were actually canoeing out here. So that was probably, if there was a day that you'll never forget, this was one of those days. This was just awesome. So that's my number one. Tetons will always be in my heart.
Yep. Gorgeous. All right. Number two for me, and my wife would be mad at me if she watches this, but we got married down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, which is right at the doorstep of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. And it's kind of like home away from home for us. We've been down there, you know, once or twice a year for most of the past 15 years. Going back, I mean, I've been there with my family multiple times, so I had to have been down there 30 times, and we just love it, man. We just love it. And it's kind of like the Smoky Mountains are old mountains, right, comparatively mm-hmm. to the ones out west, and they're not as dramatic, and so it's all green, it's all forested, there's not a lot of dramatic rock slopes and all that stuff, but it's within a day's drive for us, and we're down there and all kinds of great hiking, and it doesn't take any skill for the hiking down there. But they got hundreds of miles of trails and places to eat and drink and hang out and goofy pictures and all that kind of stuff. And so it's a great, place to take a family. Like I said, we got married down there. I caught a smallmouth. There's a restaurant in a place called Pigeon Forge. I don't know if you've been down to the Smoky Mountains yet, but
I'm very, very familiar.
Okay. So, you know, do you know the old mill there in Pigeon Forge?
I know exactly where you're talking about.
Yeah, I caught a smallmouth right there underneath the old mill, man. And so that was a blast, man, right there with the wheel and all that, you know. So it's like that was one of the kind of those, like, I don't care what I catch right here. I just want a picture with this, with the restaurant in the background. Because that's, okay, redneck admission time, but we kind of had our wedding dinner there at the old mill. Yeah, so it's like
there ain't nothing wrong with that.
Oh man, it's so good, the corn chowder and the biscuits and all that. but yeah, so that'd be number two for me, and it's close to a number one. But yeah, a lot of time there.
Awesome. So somewhere in my countdown, I will be talking to you about that. But we're gonna go with number two, and number two is Canyonland National Park. And why Canyonland is very close to me is because with the same group of guys, we did it was 4 days of bike riding, mountain biking, and 3 nights of primitive camping. And when I tell you that you are in the middle of nowhere, this is God's country. This is, you better hope and pray something doesn't happen to you, because if it does, it's going to be a long time before somebody gets to you. So, but the one picture that kind of sums up the beauty of this place is right here. And that is me and my buddy Frank. This was called, hold on. I'm having a blank on it. Oh gosh. Well, anyhow, I got it. It's called Murphy's Point. This is called Murphy's Point. And this just overlooks the entire, this is on the north end of Canyonlands looking south. And I don't know if you can really put into perspective how far down this is. This is on top, and how far if you go, you're going there, and that's literally about 400 feet down.
Yep.
That's the kind of like stuff that
As an employee of the National Park Service, I have to say that I do not endorse or recommend photos such as this. I am not the safety director or anything like that. Be safe.
Absolutely.
So we will talk offline about some of my wayward youth pictures too. So, particularly in the Grand Canyon.
But going back to that, so, you know, I give a shout out to Rim Tours. They're the ones who put this on for us. So that day we were on our own. We went hiking and we hiked out to Murphy's Point right there. But the time we were out there, we started at the south end of the park where Needles is. And then we went through the Black Diamond from the Needles, from the Visitor Center in Needles, all the way up through Canyonlands back into Moab. And when I tell you that this was one of the toughest trips, expeditions, it was both physically and mentally challenging, because you are in the desert heat and you are in the desert cold at night. It is such an extreme contrast, the temperatures, of course, the beauty aspect is there, but to actually get that beauty, you had to work for it. You had to put in the work to get there. I wiped out a few times. You know, there's times where you want to get off that bike and just walk in. If you walk it, that is a long walk. So, you know, mentally, you had to mentally prepare yourself for the endurance that this challenge brought. And you know, but at night though, you know, we talk about it, you know, that there's no better feeling than being under the stars and feeling so connected, but also disconnected with the rest of the world. You know, it was a good relinquish for the soul, man. That was probably one of those trips that, you know, you don't ever think you need it, but now that you've done it, you're like, I need another one of those in a heartbeat.
Yeah. You get addicted to it, man, and you get addicted to the solitude, and I won't say addicted. I would just say your eyes are opened to just a whole nother world and type of mentality and life out there. And you just have a longing for being out there sometimes, you know, when you're stuck in your cubicle or whatever you do. And so, yeah. Mm-hmm. You ready for number three?
I'm ready for number three.
Okay, so number three, you were just talking about being physically and mentally prepared. Well, I got a story about not being prepared. So number three for me is the Grand Canyon.
All right.
So when I was young and my wife and I were first dating, not even married yet, we decided to take a trip to the Grand Canyon. I didn't make the kind of money I make now. So we packed up a bunch of baloney and threw it in a cooler and drove, you know, and went out to the Grand Canyon. We were completely unprepared, but was like, well, we're going to hike down to the bottom and hike back up, you know? And so on our way down, like, so I have like, I think I'm just out of college. I think I had this old backpack and she had an old backpack. I mean, it's like a Scholastic bag, you know? And like, we just like bought some little kids tent at Walmart and bungee cord to the pack, you know, we're broke, you know, just out of college. And so we go and we're hiking down and we find out, you know, we were so excited, you know, thinking down is easy and like, it's not, it's not. And then we see people coming up and they're just like taking these like little like this, you know, like, gee, many Christmas, like they're really out of shape. This old guy, and he's like, yeah, I've done this before. And I'm like, well, okay, whatever. And so we get down there and like just it's like this all the way down, and it's just steep, and it's so steep that your shins and knees and everything hurt just from the grade that you're almost falling down the whole time, you know. And this is like kind of new hiking experience for me. Like I enjoyed the outdoors before, but I never really prepared for it like you were talking about. And so we were so tired, and we stayed down there a day. And what's interesting, in the bottom of the Grand Canyon, they do tours with a black light, and they show you that you're surrounded by millions of scorpions, which they didn't tell us.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's great. It's cool. It's really cool. The scorpion, if you get down there and stay at the thing, it's called the Phantom Ranch at the bottom. Is they got a tiny little post office, and you can buy like snacks or something. But do the scorpion tour at night. That's really cool. Somewhere else if you see one. But then, so we went up the next day, right? And we unprepared, didn't have enough food, you know, and we were just dead. And we just kept saying baby steps, you know, and we're like, people are passing us and they're worried. They're like, should we send a ranger? Like, oh, we're going to make, you know, so we made it up there. And, I don't know. We said, oh, we're going to take a nap. We set up the tent. We had a bigger tent. We set that up and laid down and like, we'll just take a nap and we'll get up and have dinner and all that. We fell asleep until like dinner the next day. we were so tired, but it was a great trip. And I've done top to bottom to top at the Grand Canyon. I did, a few years ago, I went out west and did Route 66 with my dad, and he had not been to Grand Canyon, so we did that, and he wasn't in shape to do much hiking, so we did the airplane ride over the Grand Canyon. And then last year, my daughter, for her senior trip, we went out there and so I did it by land, air, and then I was like, I want to do it by water. But a rafting trip through Grand Canyon is like, you got to have like,
oh yeah,
18 days or 15 days. I mean, it's just ridiculous to maybe it's 11 days, but you got to have a long time to raft it. So what I ended up doing is I booked a charter, and I got a video on either my YouTube or Instagram about right there above the Grand Canyon at Marble Canyon, fished brown trout there, or no, rainbow trout, right there where the horseshoe is. Of course, we're Buckeyes. My daughter ended up going to Ohio State and fished right there at the horseshoe, got the great pictures from the top. And then the next day I got to fish it. And so that's just that part of Arizona is just amazing and beautiful. So that's my number three.
All right. Well, I'll be honest with you though, that the Grand Canyon is somewhere I have not been. So that is actually, that is on the bucket list. That is on, that is a place to go. And when it's funny because when we were talking about doing Moab, it was initially doing the outer rim. And, you know, because it's a black diamond with, you know, with all the Jeeps and, everybody going there. So we're like, oh, that looks cool. But what we did was absolutely awesome. And people say the rim part of the, you know, if you do the rim tour for the Grand Canyon, that's another awesome experience that you'll have as well.
Yeah.
So my number three, and I'm going to kind of piggyback on your number two, is the Smoky Mountains.
Yes.
So now let me pull up my page because there's something to be had about, here we go.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
All right, let's share this. Share. There's something to be had about the Smokies and the charm that it brings. So there's me and my fiance.
Yep.
And that's Laura Falls right there.
Yeah.
And when you say that it's pretty easy for everybody, okay, so we've been dating. There's a whole funny story with all this. So we've only been dating at this point when we took this picture for about 6 months or so. And prior to this, she's never, you know, gone hiking or done. I'm the one who got the bug into her. Sure. And this was our first hike at Laurel Falls that I stand corrected. This was our first hike in our first national park together that got the bug onto her. Now, another funny story about the Smokies itself is, are you familiar with the other side in North Carolina?
Yeah, Cherokee. Yep, we've been to Cherokee. Of course, I have a goal to eventually hike the Appalachian Trail, so I've, you know, just had some crossings across the Appalachian Trail, and the Cherokee's really cool, and there's other little towns outside of Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg that we've been to that just, there's other cool little towns, and you know, people miss them because they're so small and they don't know them, you know.
So so the first trip I ever took to the Smokies was back in 2014. It was with the same guy who, you know, going out west with. This was actually this was our first trip together. And we went out to Gatlinburg and we hiked in the Smokies and we did Clinging Domes and we did part of the Appalachian Trail that ran through there. So, and we also did, Charlie's Bunyan, if you're familiar with that.
I haven't done that one. I've done Clingman's Dome on the last trip and I've done the Chimney Top several times. That's our favorite hike, but I haven't done the Bunyan thing yet.
Bunyan's cool because you could actually sit on the side and eat lunch and look straight out. It's really cool. But anyhow, so we went into the other side into North Carolina, and me and him did a whitewater rafting trip on the Nanatella River. And awesome, you know, and I learned a lot from it. Went back, single ducky on my own, and then confident enough to take her out the first time around in a double ducky, so a inflatable kayak. and we're in cold weather gear, and you know, she was hyped up for it. Yeah, we could do this. We're gonna do it. We're gonna do it. Yeah, we're gonna do it. And we're probably about 20 minutes out, and it just gets dead quiet. I'm like, I know where this quiet is. So I'm like, you ready? She's like, yeah. So we get to the Nalatela Outdoor Center, which is an awesome place, which is just outside Bryson City, North Carolina. And so, you know, we're here for the rafting. They give the safety briefing and, you know, show the video. You know, if you fall out, you know, kick your legs up, lay back, let, you know, you go with the current. And I just see the look of fear in her eyes. I'm like, all right. Yeah. She's like, yeah, I can still do this. So we're on the bus and we're getting off the bus and we're taking down the rafts and the duckies. And we're walking down and there was a woman who was standing off to the side who goes, oh, it's fun. You'll have a good time. You just get a little wet, but everything, you know, this isn't crazy. They're only, you know, anywhere between a 1 and 3 on the rapids. So they're not super crazy. And you just kind of hear like a whimper in her voice. I'm like, oh man. So we get in and we go through our first little rapid. It's a small little guy. It's nothing crazy. And she's, you know, I'm doing most of the control in the back. You know, her in front is just, hey, steer this way or steer this way. And so we're going up to the second one, and it's a little bit of a drop. And you know, I got the GoPro going the whole time. Here's me, woohoo, cheering, and you know, a little backsplash off the off the boat, and I just hear her, she's sobbing, and I'm like, okay, here, let's pull off to the side over here. So we pull off. I'm like, do you want to continue going? She's like, no, I can't do this. I'm like, oh, you know, so she's like, I didn't, you know, I'm like, it's okay. We'll be all right. So the entire time she's thinking, so I'm like, you know, it's okay. She's like, you paid for this, and I ruined it. I'm like, no, you didn't ruin it. I go, you were brave enough to go through two of them. If you, when you've never done this before, and then that's when I discover she has like a fear of like fast moving water. So I told her, you know, coming up now, July 7th, I'm going to play that video on our wedding day just to show how much you actually loved me to go out and do this only 6 months in together. So yeah.
That's awesome. Yep. That's awesome. Okay. All right. Is it my turn, number 4?
It's number 4 for you, my man.
Okay. So the top 3 were easy. Those easily all could have been a tie, but so I'm going to go with number 4. I'm going to go with Arches National Park, which is in Southwest Utah yet, I believe.
Moab.
And yeah, we were just there north of it, right? I think. Mm-hmm. And the thing, my daughter and I went, and the thing about Arches is, I just have a great experience there because I think that's where my daughter kind of experienced or discovered the outdoors a little bit. And
that's awesome.
You know, and we got some great pictures there, and it's something you cannot see anywhere else. Like there's nothing really like that. So there's all kinds of arches and big rocks and the hoodoos and the, you know, all that. And we had a wonderful hike out there across some of the, you know, some of the big formations and good pictures. And so it was just a beautiful day. So that's my number 4. I mean, you can tell all these are kind of centered around family trips too, you know, like sometimes it's just, you know, who's with you and, you know, how the day goes and memories, you know, but that's part of the experience in my opinion. So.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. You know, you're talking about Arches itself. Did you hike to the Delicate Arc?
We did whatever the main kind of loop is, and we didn't really do any side things. So we saw Landscape Arch is the main one there, and then some, I think it was called like some Indian Hideaway, and then Windows, which you kind of have to get back to. And I don't know. I'd have had to pull it up. You didn't give me much notice here, but I don't think we did Delicate Arch, because I think that one was like a separate. You might even had to drive out even to the trailhead or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, the Delicate Arch is the one that they use for the state Utah state license plate is like the Delicate Arch, and we've been there in that same trip because we hit the Utah five, right? So there's five national parks in Utah, and we did them all while we were out there.
We got Bryce and Arches. That's all we could squeeze in. So
the Delicate Arch, though, just to put into perspective for those who are listening, when you stand underneath it and you step away into like the bowl that surrounds it, you look like a it's minuscule. You look like a little tiny dot on such a big formation out there. And it's crazy because this is all made by land. This is God's creation. This is all natural. There's nothing that's ever been, man-made into it. There's that's all a natural formation. That is, and if you really think about that, that is absolutely incredible. Now I'm going to share this one, Jeff.
I think if you follow the park page, every park has their own page. So just like go out and start searching on Facebook for pages. But I think I just saw that one of the arches. Yeah, that's an arch is there. Rocking my Ohio fishing hat there too. I think they've lost some of the arches over the years, and they posted some throwbacks of some of them that have fallen down and stuff. They're not permanent, get out and see this stuff, because it's not guaranteed to be there. The environment changes, and that's kind of the story of arches, right? Is that the wind, weather, and water have been working on that to make those things, and they won't be there forever. So get out and see them,
Absolutely. Yeah, that's hence the reason why they call it the Delicate Arch. I mean, that's all erosion. It's not, it's going to take some time for it to go away soon, but it's not going to be there forever. You could say that for about a lot of those parks that are out west as well. But that's an awesome number four, man. Arches is pretty cool in my book. But the one that will kind of trump in yours, because I did all five, and this is somewhere that I would say you for those who haven't gone, you have to go, is going to be Zion. Mm. And specifically with Zion, doing Angel's Landing. I don't know if are you familiar with Angel's Landing at all?
No, I'm not, man. I'm not. There's so much I have to learn yet. So
okay, so I'm going to try to pull up the picture we have here of it, just because it really puts into perspective the beauty of what Utah has to offer. And let me see here. Photos. Let's go to albums. And if I can pull this up, this will be great. And, you talk about spending time with your family, spending time with your friends and loved ones. This one was kind of special to us because it was, in order to do this, it's a switchback to Angel's Landing. So it's about, I think it was like 1,500 feet of elevation gain to just going through the switchback itself. And then once you got to the switchback, you're on level with you're on level and you were flat. It was, kind of flat, but then the terrain went up and you had to use a chain to guide yourself up because you're rock climbing, and one wrong move, that was a long way down. And it was a lot of it was mind over matter, because we'd done plenty of hikes like this. But once we got to the top and we realized how awesome it was very, very much worth the endurance to get up to that spot. So we are, with StreamYard running, it just takes a little bit more time on Facebook's end to get to the pictures because you're running a little slower. Well, you know what? It might be in my actual photo gallery. All right, well, we'll pass on that one just because I don't have it pulled up and I'd have to go back into photos to share it. So,
yep.
Zion National Park is awesome. That's my number four.
Okay. So number five, since I'm at the bottom and I'm going to just plug the whole park system here a little bit. And so I'm going to punt and I'm going to ask for a tie here. So,
okay.
I just want to tell you about this poster here, if you can see that. So this is one of the Wright Flyers at Huffman Prairie, which is near Dayton Aviation National Historic Park. So, of course, I just came from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. My mom used to she used to make airplane lights and
cool.
So our region of Ohio is kind of there's actually a national park stop. It doesn't have any funding or a sign or anything, but there is a sign on I-70. But so right in my hometown, we're part of the Dayton Aviation Heritage Area, all the way up into Wapakoneta, where my dad is from. That's where Neil Armstrong was born. So, you know, this is the mecca of, you know, the National Museum of the United States Air Force is in Dayton, and Grimes Field here in Urbana. And so we've got a lot of aviation history, and I used to buy airplanes and work at Wright-Patt. So when I was going out the door, they had that poster there of, you know, kind of that mesh of Wright-Patterson and start my new career at the Park Service. And it's like, man, that's coming with me. So but now that my office is in my basement, I have the federal property here in my basement. So
nice. Yeah.
So
I mean, ain't that a big irony, though?
Yeah. And well, I mean, it's like, you know, life has phases, right? I mean, it felt right. You know what I mean? When, you know, you're picking up where you left off in a new part of the journey, and you got something that you always take with you. So just a plug for the Park Service is more than just the national parks, right? You got your historical areas, battlefields, historic buildings. So there's over like 450 or 460 units that the National Park Service manages. And that includes the Statue of Liberty, which I've got some projects coming up there, and the National Mall. And so there's an amazing array that aren't considered parks necessarily. That they're right in your backyard and you may not know it. So just Google it and see what's close to you, you know, because we have one of the smallest parks in the Park Services in Ohio, and it's a Native American mound, and it's like it would look like just a pile of dirt or a hill in a field, and it's those are ancient civilizations that the mound builders in Ohio and we've preserved that. So go see those things, you know. So that's half of my time. My other half, going back to family and wife, is before we were married, we did a river rafting trip on the Gully River and the New River in West Virginia. And that New River is one of our brand new national parks. So that we did class fives there. Of course we were in a much bigger raft, you know, like and with a professional guide in the raft and everything telling you what to do. So that's scary stuff, man. That's a lot of fun though. So yeah, the new river is really, really cool. Another family trip that was like, early on in my wife and I dating back when we were broke and adventurous, you know, so that would be on my number five too. So
awesome. Well, my number five is is going to be one that gets pretty and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's one of the more popular ones is Badlands.
Dude, I've been through the Badlands twice, man, and it's just it's kind of like I've never got to camp there or stay there, but I'd like to see it in all the light because it's just like you can turn a corner in the same formation that looks one way at 1 minute looks a different way in a different light. It's just the striations and all the colors and the rock is just so cool. And it's got such a terrible name because it's really cool.
What we did was so when we were coming back and we're on the loop around coming back from Yellowstone. So we hit Devil's that night before we did Devil's Tower and then we did Mount Rushmore.
That's like the Midwesterners like stuff. It's like we're going out here to this park, but we're gonna hit this and this, you know. That's kind of the loop, you know. So
So for anyone who doesn't know, because I was very confused as to and it's funny because it's one of their sayings, what the heck is wall? What is wall drug?
I don't have it here, but I've got a wall drug sticker on my old kayak. Yeah.
Oh man. And I had no idea, man. I thought it was like, I honestly didn't know. So I thought it was like, you know, like the Grateful Dead. And this is like some Jerry Garcia, what a long, strange trip. So we finally, cause we had, with the RV, we had an RV park in Wall. So we finally figured out what Wall was, and we went to Wall, South Dakota. We checked out,
what a tourist trap, man.
Yeah.
That's a tourist trap.
Absolutely. We got ice. If nobody knows, getting ice in Wall was the biggest thing that place was known for because, all the sailors who came from the east going west.
There's a cavern there or something, right?
Yep. And that's the only place for within like 200 miles that had sustainable ice and salt. So that way you could keep your meat cold and packed without it going bad on you. So Wall, and then once we left Wall in the morning, we went and we just started. We honestly, all we did was start climbing in and around. We parked in a spot. We started climbing up and again, no disclaimer. Sorry, National Park Service. Walking out because you can. There's trails that you just park on the side of the road. You walk, but you got to watch where you step, man, because one wrong move, and that's a nice little long way down. And there's a lot of, rattlers out there too, rattlesnakes.
Oh, okay. So yeah,
you kind of had to watch where you're stepping around there. But when you talk about formations and when you talk about the colors that sun beats off, oh my gosh, it is really incredible.
Cool. Yeah,
and to think that's only 12 hours away from where I live, and it's like a whole new world. And, you know, to me, that's just incredible. You know, that's incredible. And that's why I say people have to get out and see what this world, what's really in this world, because, you know, you're not going to know until you're actually out there. With that said, I want to show one last thing for my love and appreciation for not only, you know, where I've been, and this is still always a work in progress because my person is very booked. But anyhow, when I say this is close to me and this is close to my heart, I'm not kidding you. You've seen it in person, but just for those who don't know, we're going to share this up right now. I have a tattoo dedicated to this land and to the national parks. Oh, there's a nice smallmouth. But yeah. I mean,
that's awesome.
And it's never.
Is that a canoe on the one?
Yes.
What is it? Okay. So we didn't talk about it because I don't think that I think the Boundary Waters is under the Forest Service, but the Boundary Waters canoe area is just. And I know one of the paddle and fin shows recently had that Quetico Mike, and he's from near here. I'm kind of on Facebook with him, but I haven't fished with him yet. But man, Boundary Waters, man, that's if that had been a national park, it'd have been top of the list, and I'd have talked about it five times. So,
so the only reason why I have the canoe in there is because of here of the Tetons right there, and like I talked about earlier, that was one of the moving moments in my life where I was like, this is absolutely beautiful. So yep. It's incorporate, you know, when I say it, and I mean, I live by, I swear this is, you know, here it is right here. You can't take that away, man.
Yep. That's awesome, brother. And you know, I know you're a firefighter and I'm a soldier or was, there's no such thing as an ex-Marine, but you can be an ex-soldier all day. but you know, these stressful jobs and, you know, we protect our country and, you know, it's for people that have a stressful job, get out, get away from that mm-hmm. and enjoy the environment that you're sworn to protect and serve. And it just kind of refreshes your willingness to serve a little bit and just kind of takes you out of that day-to-day grind. And man, I love it. I love talking about it. This is fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, we are hitting our benchmark for just over an hour here and I can continue to go on and talk, but all good things must come to a conclusion at some point. But yep. Before we go, we have to do our little segment. So,
yep.
This is, ladies and gentlemen, this is the part of the show that everybody likes for a review of beers and with a special guest of wine tonight. So, this is One Sip. Everybody knows the rules. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures on the new One Sip glass here.
So,
and we're going to let you go first with your wine.
Okay. So, So some of these folks know I've decided to be the chaplain for the Paddle and Fin Trail Series, and so I don't drink a lot, but I will share a moment with you and just appreciation of everything you guys have done for me. But I make my own wine, so JP gave me a pass, so I had a bottle here, and you know what's funny is that we talked about this Bass wine holder that I got there, got that in the Great Smoky Mountains, and just happened to have this glass is from Sevierville, Tennessee, right there in there the Smokies. So that just shows you my life is wrapped around the Smokies, you know. So I made this wine. It's old, but the thing is, it just gets better. Wine is low maintenance. Some wines are high maintenance. I don't do high maintenance wines. So if you want, while I'm opening this, I'll get it going. If you want to do yours,
sure. All right. So today we are going to do Goose Island. This is the hazy IPA that they have to offer. Lost Palate is the name of the beer. And Goose Island, everybody knows, is local to Chicago. So this is our Chicago beer. I'm gonna crack her open. Do a nice little pour. All right. One sip. Everybody knows the rules. Lost Palate by Goose Island. All right, here we go. Cheers.
God bless you, brother. Appreciate you.
Oh, that's summertime in a can right there.
Make dry reds, and it's like sitting by a fire every time. So,
so this one is very it's hazy. You can taste the different hops that are used in here. Tastes like mosaic and probably citrusy hops, but it has a nice aromatic finish to it, and it doesn't feel heavy. Out of 5 stars, I will give this one a 4. This is very good. This is very cleansing on the palate, and this will go good, especially when it starts getting consistently warmer out. So Goose Island, Lost Palate.
Okay. I'll give my wine. Are we doing out of 5 stars or how many
out of
stars?
5.
Okay. So I give it 2. This is an older one. This is one of my first batches I just had sitting around, and I've since bought a filter, and every batch since I bought that filter has just gotten better and better. So the wine, if it has old stuff in it, it doesn't last as long. So, but I like a dry red, so I don't care. It's open now, so we'll let it breathe. Plus, this should have been breathing too. A red in the bottle should have been breathing for a while, and I should have opened it when we started. So, I'll give myself a 2.5, maybe.
Nice. Yeah. You know, we just did. Me and Olivia just came down from Traverse City, right before went down to Tennessee. And they have Tennessee, Traverse City is a there's 2 peninsulas. There's the Old Mission Peninsula, and there's the But anyhow, the 2 peninsulas. We did the Old Mission, and they have a little tour bus. There's 5 different vineyards we stopped at, and one of them was Chateau Chantel, and we had frozen pressed grapes, grape wine, and it was delicious. And do you want to know how good it was? It was good.
It's an ice wine. Did you say it was an ice? Yeah. So ice wine, I'd get me going, but I imagine it was very, very sweet, but, ice wine, I don't know if they told you how they make it, but, they harvest them very, very late, so they may even have frost on the grapes, and that condenses the grape, so all those sugars and flavors like just right in there. So, but they get very small batches out of it, so you probably paid twice what you're used to paying for half the bottle is my guess.
Yep, and it was that good that when the Obama administration was in office, Michelle Obama requested, I think, like 20 bottles of that wine to serve at a White House dinner function.
Nice.
So
that's awesome.
Yep. Well, that's going to wrap up the show today. Thank you, Jeff, so much for coming on. But hey, I want to give you a minute to shout out to any sponsors or anybody you want to say hi to or, you know, give a shout out to.
Okay.
Walk away. This is you, man.
Okay. Well, hey, let's start off with Branded Bills. I don't know if you're familiar with Branded Bills, but they make hats and it's got the leather patch on it. But when I first started this journey, they sent me a free hat, and this is like one of the most comfortable hats I've ever had. But I think it's the same model as the paddle and fin hats. It's the Richardson 112 or whatever. Same hat, but oh man, it's just so comfortable. Second of all, I always just talk up the Raptor folks. I mean, for anybody that doesn't follow Raptor Tackle Roll, it's a whole new way of thinking. And I took their rolls. I met them at the Columbus Fishing Expo and bought some rolls, and because I was going to the Boundary Waters. And man, what a great way to pack tackle for a light trip. So you can get a lot of tackle in a small space, and it's flexible. And you know, so shout out to them. And the other thing is I can't say enough good things about the trail series that you guys are doing and welcoming me to that. I know it's, I emailed Brian back in the fall and said, hey, I want to be a chaplain. And I have to use quotation marks because this is a new journey for me, a new journey for you guys. And I don't know what all it's going to be about, but, man, having Church on the River with you, that's a big deal to me, right? I mean, because, and I know it is for you, and like we talked about our stressful jobs, and that's part of it. So for those folks out there that haven't been to a paddle and fin event on the trail series, get on it. I mean, because this thing is it's eventually going to take off, and right now you can get in on the ground floor and meet these guys, and it's a chill event. I'm going to be doing I've got like a 5 or 6 minute video in the works here. It might end up 6 or 8 minutes. So, you know, all the video I took of the weekend in Indiana. So shout out to you guys. You guys are doing great stuff, and I'm just happy to be part of it, you know?
Oh, happy to have you, man. You're, I mean, Tell you what, it's a great fit, and you know, and I will say this about you, man. You're a hard worker, man, and it's awesome seeing you, the excitement you have early in the morning to get out there and just make sure you know you're following guys around and you know doing what we set out to do is to get coverage for you know for this so we can show everybody what this trail series is all about. What yep. What you're missing. You could be fishing, but you're sitting here watching.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, old Jackson Orr, the young man, he fished, he knocked the lights out of it, but he went right by this giant rock. And, you know, I'm just floating behind him, staying out of the way. I'm like, boy, why ain't you thrown at that rock? Like, that's crazy. I flipped the Ned rig out there, right there, bam, hooked up right there. I'm like, come on, man. But, you know, they were pounding the riverbanks the whole time, and the rock was in the middle, so he didn't turn around and look at it. But I sure did. I hit that one up right away.
You know, you said that the other day, and I couldn't help but think of you yesterday because I had one of the guys from the firehouse out with me yesterday, and we were fishing our local river here. And that's all I kept telling him was, you know, he was just more so, I want to chill out, just relax. If I catch a fish, awesome. If I don't, I'm out here. I'm not at the firehouse, so on and so forth. But I kept telling him, like, there's a boulder right there. Just start casting around that. I go, it's not like one or two casts. Just start ripping around. You're going to get bit eventually. And that was one cast, and then he'll reel up and cast somewhere else. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, at least you're having fun. But I couldn't help but think of you when you're saying that the other day about Jackson.
Yep. Well, that and my ramp fish. I got two fish at the ramp. So come on, guys. Like, don't overthink it, man. Fish the ramp.
Oh, man. Well, you know what, Jeff? I'm going to leave you. We're back at the ramp. We're back where we started.
That's right. And we're back safe.
Right. But I want to thank you again for coming on the show. And thanks for talking national parks, man.
More to come.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Off the Water. I will see you guys next time. Peace. Let me close this out.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddlenfin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddlenfin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler. The Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Birds up in the
sky. I'm Will Cooper, host of HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from HuntStand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.